Not that I'm in that I care for titles, because I've never been one for titles. I've been more about just wanting to be a friend of God.
Amen.
I would rather be a friend of God than the master of all apostles or the greatest prophet ever, because a friend of God walks with God.
Amen.
A friend of God hears the secrets of God.
Amen.
A friend of God is who God calls on when he needs a man.
Amen.
I want to be a friend.
Amen.
I want to be God's friend.
Amen.
More than a servant, more than a son, a friend. A son always has access. A son has access to all the inheritance in the kingdom.
Amen.
But a friend is whom the Lord looks for when he wants something done. When he wants to reveal a secret to his son, he'll give it a secret. But when he needs an accomplished mission and a trusted voice and a trusted friend, who do you call when you really need? You call your friend. You call your friend. And I want to be a friend of God.
Amen.
And I want to introduce you that you can be a friend of God. And that if you ever see any man or woman in any type of ministry, whether they claim that they're an apostle or they are, or if they're a prophet or a pastor, and there's anything in their life that they do, I want to encourage you that you can do it too.
Amen.
You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to feel like it's everybody else. God is looking for anybody to be his friend.
Amen.
And if you'd be willing to walk with God as a friend, is if you'd be willing to give your life with God as a friend, then for surely he would totally come and walk with you, and you can be his friend. You can be the friend of God. You can be who he wants to walk with. Do you know that he looks for friends?
Amen.
Do you know every single day when the Father, when the whole world wakes up, only a few want to be his friend every day. Where their heart is, I just want to be your friend. I asked him one time, how many friends do you really have? And there was a long silence. And I think I hear God pretty clearly. And the response that I got hurt me. It pierced me. And it made me want to be his friend. What is a friend of God? It's simple. A friend. It's one who will be with him and go with him. It's one that will give their life over for his agenda.
Amen.
One who will say, Lord, you know, I've got all these things going on, but I want to be your friend.
Amen.
Is there something that I can do for you right now, friend? Can I lighten your load, friend?
Amen.
Is there anybody that you want me to do anything for you, friend? Because we know Jesus as the lover. We know Jesus as the intimate lover. We know Jesus as the King, and we know Jesus as Lord. But to know him as friend, that's the greatest calling I think that any of us could ever come into. And there's no title needed for that.
Amen.
He'll accept anybody as a friend.
Amen.
Did you know that the storehouse of heaven is 100% open? Did you know that you can go in and you can get anything? You can get whatever you want from heaven? Did you know that it's 100% accessible? Did you know that every single thing that you already need, he's already said, I've already given it. I'm waiting for you to come to me. I'm waiting for you to come and access it. I'm waiting for you to come to be with me. I'm waiting for you to come and have and dine with me. It's an invitation. Every single day, every day that you're awake and you're alive, there's one thing that he wants you to do, and he wants you to spend time intimately with him, not just so we can say we did it and check the box. Oh, I did my session with God today. Check. This is how you know if you need personal revival. Now, for a season, the church has used the word revival as kind of a popular word, but it shouldn't be popular. We should not feel like revival is comfortable or a term that we're comfortable with. Because the moment we get comfortable with the term revival, the moment we get comfortable with the word revival, the moment we get comfortable feeling like our life with God is comfortable, we need revival. Because we have gotten comfortable. You don't ever want to be comfortable. And if you spend your days going over, wishing and thinking about the days of old, then friends, I'm here to tell you that you need revival. That you need to revive yourself into a place where you can awaken yourself so that you can come into the greater glory. The greater things. The greater things. The greater things to come. The greater things to come. How many of you said, hey, Jesus, if you would allow me, if you would pick me right now, if you would actually want me, I would do something great for you. Would you raise your hand if you're like, I'll do something great for you? Look around real quick, friends. Go ahead and look around. Do you see everybody in here wants the same thing? I'm here to tell you right now, every single one of you, look at me. He sent me here to tell you he wants you to do the greater things.
Amen.
He's going to back it up. He's going to put his fingerprints all over it. He's going to stamp his endorsement of love on it. And he's here to show you, to bring a little, say, refreshing. Do you know what refreshing looks like? It looks like when you come in, you leave, and you feel, ooh, something started to shift and change in my life today.
Amen.
Something was like broken, and now maybe it's not broken anymore. Something was dormant, and now it's no longer dormant. Or that calling that I longed to serve and live for, that I wanted to pursue and chase for 5, 10, 20 years. Oh my gosh, all of a sudden, I can taste it again.
Amen.
I can feel it again. I can feel the passion bubbling up again, the desire to pursue it again. What if it looks like all of us coming in here today saying, wait a minute, God actually wants me to be his friend?
Yes, he does.
Not only does he want you to be his friends, he wants you to go out and act like he wanted, that he sent all of us and gave us permission to act like, which was him. You can all move and act, and your whole life can all look like Jesus. It's an invitation to be his friend. We don't need to think that we're not an apostle or a fivefold office gift. We don't need to worry about that. Those gifts are set as gifts. Those offices are ranks of authority. But I'll tell you one that is the funnest to be. It's a friend of God.
Amen.
And if you want to be a friend, then you can be a friend. You can totally be a friend of God. You could totally 100% be a friend of God. And when I say friend, what am I talking about a friend? I'm talking about one who comes in, who says, Lord, I want to know what do you want to do? What do you want to do today? What do you want to do with my life? What do you want to do with my kids, my family, what do you want? What is it that you want to establish? What do you want to do? But the only way you could ever move into this is if you understand that if you're going to do that, you must believe.
Amen.
Yes.
You must believe that he'd actually want to pick you.
Amen.
You must believe that he'd actually want to choose you.
Amen.
You must believe that he would actually want to use you.
Amen.
And you must believe that he would want to use you even if you're not perfect.
Wow.
Even if you feel like you don't have it all together. Even if you're like, I don't even know any revelation, but I know love.
Yes.
You're qualified.
Yes.
You can pray for somebody. You can take your hand, place it on them, in the name of Jesus, be healed. You're qualified.
Yes.
Yeah, no matter what, nothing stops you from that. The only thing that stops us is ourselves, is our carnal mind.
Yeah.
Does it not get in the way constantly? Well, I want to serve you, but... Well, I would do this, but... Well, I want you to do this, but I don't know if I have faith. Carnal mind. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So if we're all in here saying the same thing, and we're all here for the same reason, I wonder what's going to happen in the next couple of services from today until tomorrow. Because I just have a slight feeling and a slight indication that the Lord isn't trying to do a couple of services. I feel like the Lord's trying to revive and refresh.
Amen.
Revive and refresh us, O God. So I want to do a few things real quick to open service.
A lot of times I'll pray for people. Are you guys okay with that?
Yeah.
Maybe it's this. I have catchers in here. Do I have?
Yes.
Who's my? Oh, Squid, you're here. Who else is here? You catch? You catch all the time? You got it?
Yeah.
My man. The guy in the back, you want to catch too?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you. Hey, Brian. Can't be getting all hammered by the glory trying to catch, bro. He's all trying to catch under the cloud. But I thank you for your willingness to serve, and so does the Father. Let me open into a few things real quick, so we can establish a few things. So this is what I would like to do today. How many of you are thankful for the Word of God?
Yeah.
I have a word, friends, that I'd like to open up. And let's see here. One last thing. I need my Bible. That's probably important, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's too much stuff up here, Prophet Robert. As the deer pants for water. Let's all do this real quick. How many of you want God to move really strongly and mightily today?
Amen.
Then I want all of us, do you know what humility looks like? Humility looks like where we assume that God's probably not talking to me, but maybe somebody else in here. So let's go in humility and say, hey, what if God is speaking to all of us, even if we feel like we're living our best life right now? Can we just all say, Lord, let's ask for the spirit of humility to come. Can we just ask that? Holy Spirit, let's pray that you would come and in humility, Lord, that you would blanket this place and every single heart for the power of the resurrection, for the demonstration of your love, that you would come in here and you would blanket this. Every single person in here that is here today is not an accident nor a coincidence. And it's not a coincidence nor an accident that they are born, that they went through the trials, that they're here, and their life may not even be shipwrecked. But that's no problem for you, King. That's no problem because you're the one that can recreate lives. So, Father, I ask for that spirit of gentleness and humility to come. And I ask that it would rest on their hearts tangibly, Lord, that every heart would be open for this message. That every single person in here would say, man, maybe this is me, maybe it is me. What if it's me and I want to go deeper? Lord, forgive me, I'm open for it, whatever it is. I say yes, I'm all in. So, Father, I ask right now that blanket would come over, that full blanket would totally come, and that peace and that glory, that peace would fall right now. There it goes. Blanket your church, Father. Let it fall, God. Let it fall. Let it fall. If you feel that peace falling, wave at me right now. Wave your hands right now. Wave them up. Just wave them. Look at that. Hey, that peace is falling. Hey, I'm telling you right now. You know why? Because when that peace falls, that atmosphere is open. And once that peace of God drops, that atmosphere is open. So, Father, we give you permission to do whatever you want, when you want, how you want, at any time in this service. But I thank you, Lord, that you're going to come and you're going to speak to your children today. Thank you. How many of you are like, hey, this is an abnormal weather that's going on right now?
Yeah.
Abnormal, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, isn't it? So everybody here agrees that this is not normal weather?
No.
No? Yeah, right. Cool. What's the high today? Like 72 or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Isn't it supposed to be summer in California? Yeah, so let's do this. The winds of change are upon you. Where sudden drastic shifts come.
Amen.
And I speak right now and I release that winds of change over this region in the Bay Area and to Pleasanton right now, Itagape, that you would receive the winds of change.
Amen.
That the winds of change would blow.
Yes. Yes.
stones that hinder your faith would be thou removed and cast into the sea.
Amen.
Father, I thank you that you would submerge your church, submerge it in the glory of God.
Amen.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you.
You know, I'm sitting here earlier and I'm asking the Lord, hey, Father, what do you want to do? And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, as the deer longs for the streams, as the deer pants for waters, as the deer. I want you to think about you as the deer. Why would a deer be panting? Why is the deer panting for water? Why is the deer pant? I'm thirsty. Well, I'll just go get a drink from the fridge. Panting. In a desperate state of mind. In a desperate place in their heart. Panting. As the deer panteth. As the deer literally longs for. As the deer desperately must have what?
Water.
Not just any water, though. When you start to read and it says waters and it says streams, it actually literally means brooks. And what type of brooks? Not just any brook, but it says mighty rushing rivers.
Wow.
It says mighty rushing rivers. As the deer desperately longs for the mighty rushing, refreshing of God's rivers to come in and touch them.
Yes.
That's what this means. The Lord whispered to me and he said, hey, speak to my church and tell them I want to send revival into their individual heart so I can start to revive them today.
Wow.
So I can awaken and revive them into their original creation, their original design. Because as a deer pants for water, as a deer is desperate, as a deer is desperate. What is desperation? I have to have you. I cannot not have you. I'm desperate. You ever been broken and desperate? You ever been desperate? So broken in your marriage is desperate? You're crying out in desperation that God must save my marriage. God must save my family. You ever been in a crisis where you're desperate and you're crying out and you're desperate and there's something with your children? There's something with your job? There's something with your finances? I'm talking real desperation. Not I'm desperate. Real desperation. The desperation that you're not going to make it unless God doesn't show up. The desperation that says, I need you more than my own air, more than my own life. I can't go on another moment, another day. I need you right here, right now. I'm desperate.
Amen.
As the deer pants, church, for water. The brooks, the mighty rushing waters. As the deer pants, friends. I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you, God. I'm desperate for you, God. I'm desperate. God, I must have a drink. An unquenchable drink. I must be able to drink of your love again. Father, it's been dry. My walk with you has been stagnant. God, it's not been easy. I want to be with you, but I stray. Every day in my heart, I want you, but something allows me not to be with you. There's always something, always family, always distractions, always noise, always chatter. Jesus!
Amen!
As the deer pants. As the deer pants. As the deer pants. As the deer pants for water. His soul must be revived.
Amen.
And if he does not get revived, then there is no reason for him to continue. There is no hope for this deer to even have life. Because he pants. He's run. He's spent a lot of time running. He's out of breath. He's out. He's cold. He's totally wiped. And he finally makes it to the river. He finally makes it to where he can be refreshed.
Amen.
And all he has to do is take a drink.
Yes.
How many of you are like, Father, I want to take a drink.
Lord,
I want to, you can just, you know what? That river's starting to flow right now. I see it. There's a river starting to rise right now. How many of you by faith can say, I could actually take a supernatural drink? Yeah, take a drink. Now, if I was pant for water, I'm going to be like... That's it. I'm a little sloppy kind of revival guy. I'm like, I'm thirsty, Jesus. I'm thirsty. How many of you are desperate?
Yeah.
They request me, oh God.
Yeah.
They remind me, oh God. Hey, you know what? Because I'm desperate.
Yes.
Maybe I'm not as desperate as I should be or I want to be, but all of a sudden now, God, there's something happening in my heart. Because we prayed, Lord, for that humility to fall, where I wouldn't think that I'm just okay. But I would actually say, Father, am I really, is this all that you have for me, or is there more? Is there really more? Oh. You know what's interesting? In 1 Kings 17, Elijah went after he called for a drought, and he drank out of a brook. He drank out of a brook, and it sustained him. Elijah the prophet was sustained by drinking out of a brook, and it sustained his soul. So if it's good enough for a deer to pant for water, and for a prophet to call for a drought and then go drink out of a brook, I want to be like Elijah and drink out of the brook. I want to drink out of the brook of God.
Amen.
The brook of God. Yes. Psalms 84. It says, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints. There it is again. My soul longs, yes, even faints. Why? Why does my soul long? The reason that I have a longing in my soul is because my soul is not fully revived. The reason that my soul longs is I must have more of God.
Amen.
I have to. How many of you are like, I want more of God?
Amen.
Right now, you're like, I want more. Hey, that's called longing.
Amen.
That means, hey, this word, if you're longing, then this word's for you. You're longing.
Amen.
But I'm telling you right now, the Lord just showed me a vision. He said, yes. But tell my children, I long more for them. I see the Father's heart reaching out saying, I long for you. I long for you. There's an invitation coming right now where the Lord is speaking to you. And He's saying, not only will I revive you, not only do I want to revive you, but I want to replenish you. And the Lord wants me to prophesy. There's numerous people in here where your families have taken severe hardship and there's brokenness that's come from it. And there's injustice that came from some of the brokenness that was sowed. And the Lord is telling me right now to prophesy. I don't know who you are. There is an injustice sowed into your family. It caused brokenness to come into your family. Injustice means there was something that was wrong that was done to your family. And it's caused great upheaval in your family. It's a great upheaval. And the Lord told me to tell you right now that I prophesy according to the will of God. Stand up, friend, because the wind's going to blow over you. Stand up right now. Yep. Stand up. Stand up, sir. Stand up. As the wind of God, I release it. Bam! Let it blow over him. In Jesus' name. Let it blow over him right now. I release the winds of change over your life. That sudden drastic changes. And your family will be revived. There's a pension and an inheritance for you, says the Lord. The Lord's got multiple doors for you, says the Lord. Your family will not be scathed. Your family will not be harmed. Your family will not be touched. My hand is upon you, says the Lord. And so like a Moses, where he says, I only speak to my friends face to face. The Lord is saying to you, brother, come stand right here. Come stand right here, friend. This man, come here. Come here right now, brother. Come stand right here. Come stand right here. The Lord wants to have a face-to-face with you. He says, tell my son, my servant, I see the days of striving where the enemy has come. I bind and break the enemy off of your life. And there's a financial glory. The Lord says, declare, like a Joseph, an inheritance coming like a Joseph. So great, so vast, so strong that no one knows what to do with it. Why is it so much? Because he suffered so long. So in Jesus' name, I bind the enemy. And I command the seed to come out. The Lord says restoration to you, friend. Restoration to you. Restoration to you, friend. The Lord says, as the deer panteth, as the deer panteth,
and that desperation that you have, fill them up with that fire. In the name of Jesus, I call the lightnings of God strike in your spirit. And even in your dreams, says the Lord, the dreams, I break and bind confusion from coming into your dreams and in the evening time. That there would be a wash. And I feel the Lord wants me to tell you that this is not your fault. That there's a shame and a guilt and a heaviness that I see coming off of you. There's a thorn. I see it in your head. It's coming out of you right now where the enemy is trying to splinter you. And you know why that thorn is keeping you? It's keeping you locked and bound in the past. So we release that right now in the name of Jesus. And the Lord wants to encounter you face to face. And there should be some wind, something going on, the glory falling, a tangible thing. Because the Lord says, tell my son, it's his time. It's his time.
My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. For the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh, they cry out for the living God. You ever cry out for God?
Yes.
Do you ever cry out for God?
Yes.
I cry out for God. Even the sparrow found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house.
Amen.
Are you in the house right now of God?
Amen.
Now, I want you to understand, we could be in the house of God, or we can realize that here is the house of God. Bless those who dwell with God inside of them. For Christ in you is the hope of glory. For in Him I live. In Him I move. In Him I have my being. God wants you to realize that heaven is inside of you, fully alive. Heaven is 100% fully alive inside of every single one of you right now. And listen, God doesn't want you to think that He's a million billion miles away. God wants you to realize that He's right here. And He's pleased with you. There's people in here, you feel guilty and shameful. This has been a lifelong thing, and your relationship with God is always based off how good you are. I'm talking to a group of people right now. You always feel like your relationship with God is always based off of how good you do as far as following the rules for Christianity. There's a handful of people. I'm here to tell you right now, and I'm here to prophesy over you right now, that those who feel like your walk is based off of how good or how ungood your behavior is with God, there's the guilt and shame is coming off of you right now. And I command the guilt and the shame to unshackle you, because your salvation is not based off of how good you are. Your salvation is not based off of how good you think you're doing. Your salvation is based, and your righteousness comes only if you believe. It's only if you believe. Believe in what? Believe that what? Believe in what? Believe what? Believe in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you have faith to believe in Jesus Christ?
Amen.
There's a group of people, I can see it coming off of a couple of you. Guilt and shame are breaking. And the bad behavioral patterns that are caught in your natural mind are being loosed. Bam! In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And they're coming off and coming out. If you feel fire burning on your head right now, if you feel that, wave at me right now. Wave at me right now. Just don't be ashamed. Wave at me right now. Yeah? So every single wave at me, if you feel fire burning on your head when I'm talking, wait, just put your hand up a little bit. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask right now that you'd start to fully set your people free. 100%. That they would come under the truth, Lord, that He says, my truth will set them free.
Amen.
And that He who the Son sets free is free indeed. You're free from trying to strive from obeying the law, because you don't need to obey the law. Because if you try to obey the law, trying to obey the law just makes you that much more of sin aware of your consciousness, of that you are in need of a Savior. Now, if you wanted to understand how the law works, you actually died to it. Because Abraham's covenant came before there was ever a law given by an angel to Moses. So we're going to go all the way back to Abraham, and we're going to learn to live by faith. For the just shall live by faith. And if you really want to please God and be a friend of God, then be like a man like an Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was no more. Why was Enoch no more? It says that Enoch pleased God, so therefore he was no more. Do you know how to please God? Well, I'll tell you, it says this. It's impossible to please God unless by what? Only by faith. It's your whole walk is all by faith.
Amen.
Everything is by faith.
Amen.
Everything. And if we can take that faith that we so desperately cling to as Christ is my Lord, it's so much more than that. It's not the confession, oh, I confess. It's the substance of faith that keeps you in that place. It's the substance of faith that keeps you locked in that place of that you're a son, that you're a daughter.
Amen.
And for all those dealing with shame and guilt, be fully free right now. Be totally free. You don't need to worry about how good you are. You just need to worry about one thing, and that's encountering the love of God every single day for yourself. All you need to do every single day. Can I help you, church?
Yes.
You will be and get so much farther. You'll go so much further. And you'll have so much more fruit.
Amen.
If you learn to do one thing every day, friends. That's to encounter the love of God alone. In a secret place. By yourself. No one else around. Nobody. And you go and you get alone. And you shut the door. And you wait on God. And you stay. And you're like, I'm unsatisfied. My soul panteth, Father. I need you. I need you. My soul is unsatisfied, God. I need you. I need you, Father. I want, not only do I need, I want you. And Lord, not only do I want you, I choose you.
Amen.
In the busyness of the world, I lock myself away. And I go into that secret place. And I choose to want to wait on you.
Amen.
I choose by wanting to choose you, to wait on you. For I'm desperate. And I know you are the mighty living waters, the rivers of water, the mighty waters flowing. I need a drink of your love right now. I'm not going to leave. I'm going to turn everything away. And I'm just going to wait. That right there is why you're created.
Amen.
It's so that God can love you every day. In the busyness of life and friends and family and sports and traffic and Starbucks and sales and everything else and shopping. You guys know the busyness of life. As the deer panteth for water. To restore the deer's vital needs.
Amen.
Does your soul really long for God?
Yes.
Does your soul really truly long for Him?
Yes.
Verse 5, Psalms 84. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. I'm gonna change that word pilgrimage. And I'm going to read you another version. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. It's the Amplified, I believe it says, whose heart are the highways to Zion. Okay, blessed is the heart whose heart is set on the highways of Zion, to Zion, the highway of holiness, to run and live an accelerated life for Christ.
Amen.
What is Zion? Zion is the mountain. Zion is the mountain where Christ himself reigns and where he's at. It's Zion. He himself is on the mountain. All the angels, the angelic host, they're all. And they're in Isaiah 35, it talks about the highway of holiness. Where you can walk with the holiness of God on the highway high above all the warfare.
Mm-hmm.
You can get all the stuff down here that shackles us. All these things. You go above the snake line. What is the snake line? The snakes, the second realm, the demonic identities, and all the principalities, and all the other things, they're not higher than the highway of holiness. You can walk above and the highway of holiness. And I mean, not only walk, you can run. You can run as fast as you want. If you're like, hey, Lord, I want to have an accelerated 30 years, and I want to do what one man couldn't do. I want to take 300 years and stand them in the life of 30 years. Why can't you do that? What does the word say? You ask anything, and he will give you anything if you believe. The only requirement is faith. Is it not? So why not? Why not live in the highway of holiness and forerun and go as far as we possibly can? Why not live to the maximum degree and do everything we possibly can? Psalms 84:5. The pilgrimage is where you belong. It's called your home. Zion. But I want you to understand something. If I'm seated in heavenly places with him right now, does that mean I'm already in Zion? Wouldn't that just mean that I'm already there? Like, how can I physically be here but I'm seated in heavenly places? You see, what you have to understand is you have already been given permission to live out of that place and walk
right.
Yeah.
And now you just have to become aware of it.
Yes.
And you can live on the mountaintop at all times. And you can come down whenever or whenever you choose not to. Or you can run as fast as you want. You can do whatever you want on the highway of holiness. You can go and take off and soar. You can run. You can go and do as much as you possibly want. Say Zion.
Zion.
It's the house of God.
It's the house of God.
But if I'm seated in Christ, and Christ is in me, and Christ is in the bosom of the Father, and I am in him, and he is in me, and all of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit live in me, and he died to send his Son to be crucified on the cross. Friends, we're the ones that should have been crucified on the cross. We should be hammered to that cross. We should be flogged and beaten. But he did it for us. And then he said, not only do I want to trade my life for them, he says, for the joy set before him, he endured death on the cross. You are his joy. He, when you wake up every day, he's excited. He's like, I love you. I love you. I want you. I chose you. In Isaiah 8:18, it says, here am I. Here am I and the children whom you have given me. What is this talking about? Jesus is stepping in and saying, here am I and the children you have given me, Father. That's what he's saying. Isaiah 8:18. Here am I, and all the children that you gave me. How are you children of God if you're born of His Spirit?
Amen.
Are you a child of God? Raise your hand.
Amen.
So then this verse must apply to you. For we are for signs and wonders.
Yeah.
Every single one of you are for signs and wonders.
Amen.
Nobody's an exception. Nobody's ruled out. Everybody's invited to that party. Everybody's invited to be a sign and a wonder. But all you gotta do is you gotta believe it.
Amen.
And the moment you start to believe it, the moment you start to partner with it, the moment you start to act in it, is the moment you actually start to see the fruit of it.
Yes. Wow.
Say, I'm a sign and a wonder.
I'm a sign and a wonder.
Because I'm seated in Zion. As the deer pants for water, he comes into, what does he encounter? As the deer gets desperate again, what does he start to encounter? And he what does the deer do when he's desperate and he's panting? It says he doesn't run to the oak tree to find shade. He didn't go to the cave for 40 days to hide out. He went to take a drink. He ran all the way as fast as he could, and he got to the only place where he knew that he would be satisfied and filled. Does your soul long for God, friends?
Amen.
Does your soul truly long for the Father?
Yes.
Then come and take a drink and be revived.
Amen.
be revived and be so refreshed that when you absolutely leave here, you're leaking the transformational love of God everywhere you go. Why can't you get touched right now? You don't need me. It's all Him. Be like, Jesus, I want you. I want this. I want revived. I want to live for what you fully have me for.
Amen.
Are you tired of your life? Are you tired of the stagnancy? Do you want more, but you're always getting hit? It's time for you to be the one that hits first.
Come on.
It's time for you to go on the attack. Yeah. When's the last time that you woke up and said, I'm going to smack the devil today? We're scared to think that way. Well, I don't want to cause a problem. I like to look for problems. When I see that homeless man walking and he's got a broken arm, guess what? I'm not running away. I'm running to him.
Amen.
Come here, bro. Bam, be healed. I went into the enemy's camp. I slayed him with the donkey bone. And I said, here, bro, how's that feel? Brand new arm? He's like, brand new arm. Bam, I glorified your name. You know what? I'm a sign and wonder, Jesus.
Amen.
That's for you too, church.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Are you catching it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know why? Because this is what He wants to do.
Hallelujah.
Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Do you know why? Because if your strength is in Him, that means that your faith is in Him.
Yeah.
And as you put your faith in Him, He strengthens you. Because it's actually His strength that comes through you to connect to Himself. And you connect to Him by His own strength. As they pass, listen to this. Verse 6, as they pass through the valley of Baca. What is the valley of Baca? It's the valley of weeping. It's realizing, God, I'm in a state or a place that I don't want to live or be in anymore. God, I'm in a place where, like, and something's not right. I saw some people shedding tears earlier when I started to preach as a deer panted. That's what I'm talking about. Those tears are called the valley of weeping. Longing. Wanting. Desperately to change. Not next week. Not next month. Well, if I start to be good today in 6 months, that's knock that program off. That's a program, that's a pharisaical program. Knock that off. You're here right now. How about not feel, touch me right now and fill me up all the way right now in this moment?
Oh, yes.
Because it's not me who's going to be the one that gives you that opportunity. The Father's telling me to tell you. You're here because He's already wanting to give you that opportunity. So as this message comes, all you have to do is partner and say, oh, I want to get revived. Oh, Lord, I want to change. Oh, Lord, I really want you to touch my life. Well, if you're going to do it for him, how about me? Like, you touched him. Hey, Jesus, you touched him. How about not me? How about touch me twice?
Wow, yeah.
Put it on him. Be like, Jesus, I'm here. I want it. I came for you, Lord. Why do you expect that you're going to receive it? What are you going to receive from the Father today? What did you come here for today? Why did He bring you here? What is the Lord doing? As they pass through the valley of Baca, gosh, it says they make it a spring. How on earth can I come into a place with tears and repentance and boo-hooing, and all of a sudden my tears, and they make it a spring? How on earth is that possible? What are springs? Isaiah 43:18-19. When it says, I'll bring streams in the desert, there's no streams in the desert. There's no roads in the wilderness, friends. I've been in the wilderness. There's not a road that says this way out. It's desert. It's dry. It's desert everywhere. There's not one little road where you're like, oh, I'm good. When you go walking in the desert, there's not some pool that you, well, I'll go to this pool and drink, then I'll go. It's desert. How on earth is now all of a sudden I start to come into this place of a repentant heart and now there's springs coming up? What is that spring? It's the springing up. The springing up. Spring up, oh joy. Spring up, oh well. Inside of you. Because out of your belly will flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
And that's what that means. It's uncapping it, bam, and letting it flow out of you. Bam, and you just start to flow. And you just start to gush and gush and gush. How can we cry a little repentance and all of a sudden we're in a spring? How am I getting refreshed? Because he wants to refresh his people. He wants to refresh every single one of you. The rain also covers it with pools. It says they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. God, say this. Say, God,
God,
hear our prayers.
Hear our prayers.
Say, O God,
oh God,
hear our prayers.
Hear our prayers.
It says, give ear, O God of Jacob. God, please give me your ear. God, listen, I'm in tears. I'm begging you like a deer that pants before water.
Amen.
And it says, O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. One day with you, Jesus. One moment with the Father. One kiss from the Father. One touch from the Father is better than a thousand anywhere elsewhere. A thousand times over. Because nothing will satisfy. Nothing will fill. Nothing will ever take the place of the love of God. One day, one touch, one moment with the King, with Jesus, is better than a thousand thousands of elsewhere. Infinities of infinities of anywhere. One touch, one taste. Revive me. Say, revive me, O God.
Revive me, O God.
Revive me, O God.
Revive me, O God.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Listen to this. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. How many of you understand what I just said? God is going to give you grace and glory. God is going to give you grace and glory. And he, listen, the Father is saying in his word, not me, in his word, I will give you grace and I will give you glory. I will give you grace, I will give you glory, and I will not withhold anything from you, my beloved. This is the word of the Lord from God right now to you. I will give you grace. Grace empowers you to say, oh, I was living stagnantly. Father, I was living in a place not of filled with revival. I wasn't doing my personal best. I wasn't being the best that I could be for you. In fact, I kind of got a little too church comfortable. Maybe I got a little too church hurt. Maybe I just kind of forgot that there's a little bit more and I didn't mean to and here I am, but I don't know what to do. Maybe you're just so broken, or maybe you're first time here or whatever. It doesn't matter. I will give you grace and I will give you glory and I will not withhold anything from you. God is saying to you right now, I will give you grace. Grace is the permission, the moment you say yes, that he will come and his grace will enable you to continue on without being in the former state that you are in. And you won't go back to it because his grace is sufficient. So what does that mean? By faith. I come out of the old, I step into the new, and I'm done and I'm moving forward. I'm not even thinking about falling, failing, or messing up. I'm not thinking about if I'm going to make a mistake tomorrow or if I'll get up and pray, because his grace enables me to run in the glory of God and he won't withhold any good thing from me. We must confess the need of revival. We must confess. Does anybody here that you're like, hey, I need to be revived a little bit? Anybody that you're like, hey, then you must confess. Thank God. Thank God. I confess.
I confess.
I need to be revived.
I need to be revived.
Now we must admit the possibility of revival, where you got to come to the water. You got to bring all your life here and look right here at this mighty, rushing, living water.
Oh,
this brook of love pouring and spewing out every good thing to the Father and saying, my past does not disqualify me from jumping in the river and getting all of God right now. You must acknowledge that can acknowledge that. Say, I believe.
I believe.
It's mine to drink.
It's mine to drink.
Say, it's mine to drink from.
It's mine to drink from.
Because now you just admitted the possibility of revival. Now you're in agreement. Now you're agreeing that you need to be revived. You claim and say, I want to. Now I confess I need it. Now I believe it, I'm going to. Now you're coming, you're physically stepping in to a change. You're physically allowing the grace of God to come and work its way in your heart. You're agreeing with His Word, and now His Word is agreeing with your heart. And He's coming in, and He's starting to touch some of your hearts. And some of your hearts right now are burning. You're burning. There's a burning in your heart. We must recognize the source of revival. What is the source of revival? It's not your bank account. It is definitely not how much food you have or you think you'll have next week. It is not your promotion or your boss. It is definitely not a marriage. It is definitely not kids. What is your source of revival? It's not your circumstances. It is not anything that's around you. It is nothing that's even born from this earth. There's nothing on this earth that can fully revive you. If anything, it'll take from you.
Amen. Wow.
Tell me one thing that can revive you, because if you could do it, you would already be doing it. You would be doing it while you had Jesus. You would invite Jesus to your personal revival. But there is no personal revival without Jesus. There is no revival or move or any type of independent where you come out and say, oh, I'm good now. No, there's none of it. You know why? Because you've tasted and seen that the Lord really is good.
Yes.
And that's why something keeps pressing you on. Even when it gets hard, even when you're in the valley and you're like, I want to be on the mountain. You can be back on the mountain right now, because the truth is you're already seated in heavenly places in Zion. You're already seated in heavenly places with Him in the mountain.
Oh.
Now we need to recognize the source of revival. Who is the source of revival? Who is it? Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say, I recognize.
I recognize.
That Jesus is my source.
Jesus.
And now I'm going to let all the things go. You know what I just saw? I just saw a bunch of heaviness from people letting all this stuff go. Where they're putting all this pressure on their spouse or loved ones and their circumstances. Let it all go. It's a false hope.
Amen.
Jesus is now your source.
Amen.
Did we not just confess that Jesus is our source? Jesus is our source. Jesus is our source. So now we acknowledge that. We recognize the source of revival. And now, we must employ the means for securing revival. We must employ. What does employ mean? The means. If I'm going to employ something, I'm going to hire something. I'm going to make it something that I'm diligently going to work at. I'm going to diligently work at the means for securing revival. What is that? What is personal revival? What is the true personal revival? Do you know that people want awakening? Everybody wants awakening, right? Here's what awakening is. Awakening is not revival. Before you have awakening, which is the whole church coming into a movement, individuals must be awakened in the personal revival. The individual must believe that God created you in the fullness and the likeness of Him to carry the glory.
Yeah.
To receive His grace to carry the glory. And to be every single thing that you see Jesus looking and walking and talking about, that's what He's raising in this end time army.
Wow.
Every single person that is alive. I'm going to tell you two things right here. Joel's army. There's never been an army that has looked more scary, more potent, more offensive. And it is God's army. There's never been an army like Joel's army in the existence of the Bible. And this is what it says. In the Bible, guess where Joel's army is right now? I'm looking at you. I'm telling you right now, church, you're in the greatest days of your life. You're in the greatest days of your life in awakening. And I'm not only here to tell you, nor to convince you. I'm here to help you so that we can demonstrate it and then you can go and live it.
Amen.
So that you can say, oh yeah, I'm good. No more of I'm good. Where you come and say, oh, I found life and life more abundantly now.
Yeah.
I'm going to enlist in Joel's army.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what Joel's army is? Joel's army is a bunch of priests.
Yeah.
But you're like, but I'm not a priest. Joel's army is a bunch of priests who volunteer their life and trade their normal, every single day life to be a priest unto the Lord. And they say, I want to volunteer my life to be a priest unto the Lord. Why? Because I just want to serve and love God.
Amen.
And this is the army that gets to come, that has everything fully open to them, and that they can step into the move of God and be like, wait a minute, I'm a normal ragtag nobody. I struggled my whole life with this, or I'm just, who am I? I'm a sign and wonder.
Hey.
I'm a sign and wonder. Because Jesus says to you, he says to his Father, Isaiah 8:18, the children you have given me, God sent his Son to be ransomed so that he can trade his life for your life so that you can be his children. The Father gave Jesus the children. Who the children you have given me, for every single one of you are for signs and wonders. Signs, wonders, and miracles. You're all for signs, wonders, and miracles.
Yeah.
That this generation here, there will never be another generation like it. There will never be another opportunity to do it. And all it takes is somebody to believe the Word of God.
Right.
And to say, what can I do? How can I be a part? All I want to do is serve God. It just takes people to believe the Word of God. But before we can go and do those mighty things, we must be personally revived. We individually must be revived. There's something great. Is anybody satisfied with where you're at? You're like, no, I don't need any more of God. If you're like, well, I don't need to listen, bro. I'm so filled with God. You might want to stay and listen to the next preaching, you know. I mean, just saying. Because I'm not satisfied. Are you satisfied?
No.
And I found that this thing, the more I pursue God, the more I want to be pursuing God, the more that I don't want to be around anything else except pursuing God. And once I'm on my pursuit, look out, because I'm on my pursuit. I got to find Him everywhere. Every day I've got to be with God. I got to be with Him. Why? Because He is the only thing that satisfies. Nothing else truly satisfies. Let's go into Psalms 85. How about that? Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. Watch this. You have given the iniquity of your people. You have covered all of their sin. Do you see what happens when you start to say, Lord, I confess. Here I am, God. There's more. And then all of a sudden I come through the weeping of Baca. There's that repentance. And we're all in agreement saying, God, we all want more. We're all unsatisfied. We all want more. I think we're all there, all of us corporately. This must be a word of the Lord if all the people here are agreeing. It's God who wants more. Every person here is saying, I'm in. And if we're just confessing and going through this just with a verbal mouth, we're not doing that. Because our hearts are saying yes. Now I want to go into Psalms 85. But I want to break it down a little deeper. Can we go more deeper?
Sure.
Can we go deeper?
Amen.
We need to go deeper. Here's deeper. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people and covered all their sin. He's forgiven everybody in here for all things. You're 100% fully forgiven. You have taken away all your wrath and turned from your fierceness of your anger. Do you know what verse 1-3 is really talking about? In Psalms 85, it's talking about this. It's talking about the golden age. Say the golden age.
The golden age.
Say the golden age.
Golden age.
You know what the golden age is? Here's the golden age. The golden age is when you remember the best days of your life. And that when God was living in His mightiest, in His best in your life, and you're constantly looking in the past, thinking about the golden days.
Oh,
Oh.
I remember when God moved 10 years ago. Oh, it was so strong. It was the best He's ever moved. It was the mightiest I've ever experienced. Those are the golden days. When we live our life based off of what God even did 10 days ago, 6 weeks ago, 6 months ago, more so than we do right now, we're in the golden days. And do you know what the golden days are? We're not living for our best right now. And if there was something that you walked or lived through 10 years ago, 10 days ago, 10 decades ago, whatever, and you're not there right now, then we have to understand that we need to come back to that place and say, how do I get back on top of the mountain?
Amen.
Everybody here, do you remember your best days?
Yeah.
We always look back at them, don't we? We always glean in the past the golden days. Those golden days, do you know what they are? They're a stumbling block. Do you know why they're a stumbling block? Because it was the anointing of the old. You don't need the anointing from 20 years ago, from 10 years ago, from 10 days ago. You need the anointing of today.
Amen.
Bob Jones said that the anointing of the old is a stumbling block.
Wow.
I don't want the anointing of old. I want the anointing of today.
Yes.
We can't look back and say, oh, when it was good. No, it's good right now. It's the best it's ever been right now. It's today, now, in this moment, now. And revive yourself enough to believe the Word of God. The golden days are where we remind ourselves of where we thought, where we wanted to be more than anything else, instead of living in the now. And we get caught up in this, and we get so familiar. We want God to do what He did 10 months ago, then now. But that anointing for then, it's a stumbling block for today. It's not good enough for today. It's not going to produce the fruit that it did 20 years ago today. We have to build a new wineskin. We have to build a new compass. We have to build a new structure for God to fill us. You can't look in the past and live out of yesterday's moves of God and be like, oh, I miss those days. No. It's today, right now.
Amen. Amen.
Say it's today, right now.
It's today, right now.
It's right now in this moment.
Right now in this moment.
Say the golden days. Hey, get out of the golden days, yo.
Yep.
Yeah, no more golden days. I'm going to skim over some of this. Restore us, O God, is what verse 4 says. Psalms 85:4. Restore us, O God, the God of our salvation, and cause your anger towards us to cease. Will you be angry with your people forever? Verse 4. Restore us. Revival starts when I desperately cry out for the need to change. We just now realize, does anybody hear the golden age? You guys understand the golden age? Isn't it easy to look in the past?
Yeah.
And be like, oh, when it was good? Yeah. Especially if you're in a trial. Is that easy to do?
Yeah.
Right? Those days are over. Because if we're doing that, all we're saying is I confess that I need to be revived right now.
Yes.
I am now in full agreement that there's something that's not good, it's not the best. How about the best right now? The best there ever was, the best there's ever going to be, the best there ever is this moment right now. Not tomorrow, today, right now here. It's this moment only, and I'm taking it today, and then tomorrow, and then the next day, and then the next day, because every day I wake up, when I wake up now, because I'm going to be in full-blown move of God revival, I awaken, and He says, I awaken your ear, moment by moment, morning by morning. Here I am, a friend of God. I wake up, what are you speaking? What are you speaking? Because this whole generation is for signs and wonders. Say signs and wonders.
Signs and wonders.
You want to be a sign and a wonder for God?
Yes.
How many of you feel that starting to come in here and shift a little bit? You know what that is? That's the holiness and the fear of God.
Yes.
Verse 8, we're going to skip some. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace to His people, His saints. but let them not turn back to folly. God is coming. How many of you felt that peace come over earlier? The whole place was like, oh, we feel the peace.
Yeah.
That's the peace. That's the peace. Hey, I will speak peace to you. But he's saying, hey, let's not go back. Let's not wake up in our habitual mind and try to live out of the golden age tomorrow. Let's not try to remember the times of the past. Let's create the best today right now.
Yes.
Let's create a move of God. Let's create a heart of God. Let's create the greatest community. I don't know what your heart burns for. I don't know what you feel like you need permission to go do. I don't know where you are with your walk. I don't know even how you think. But I'll tell you this. His ways are higher. His ways are way better. They don't make sense to your carnal mind, but His ways are the ways. And He fastened the world to how He chose to, because He wanted to, in His likeness, because He thought that this was the best. It's all about how He does and who He says He is, and all we have to do is partner with it. How many of you have been baptized into Jesus? Have you ever been baptized? Raise your hands. Right. Can I tell you what it means to be baptized? Do you want to know what it means when you look up the word baptismo, and then you go into baptismo, and then the baptizee and all the others? You want to know what it really means? It means that when I get baptized into Jesus Christ, and I come up out of the water, and I am now confessed, I confess I'm baptized in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you know what that means? It means you are now physically the property of God.
Oh.
He physically 100% owns you. You are now 100% His property. That's what it means. God's property. You're God's property.
Wow.
And if you're God's property, where does God abide? Only where His property is. And He abides in you.
Amen.
He lives in you. And He owns your property. How many of you are like, dude, I never knew that God physically owned me like property. I've been baptized, and guess what? I wonder what God wants to do with your body. I wonder what He wants to do with your temple. Because if He paid His price to trade Jesus Christ for you, how you are right now, He traded His Son just for you and said, I want this. That's my, it's a good deal. Give me her. I want her. Give me her. She's mine. She's mine. I traded my Son for you. Now God owns you. You are the property of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And He's delighted to dwell in you in all of His fullness.
Come on.
But now Amen. You must believe. Now you must believe that you are the property. Not by feelings. Because we can't go by my feelings. But man, if I sit and I soak in the glory of God, I can walk in the glory. Because He said, I'm going to give you my grace. And I'm going to give you my glory. And I can walk in His glory. How many of you are like, I want to know what that glory feels like? I'm telling you, the moment I got here last night, I had some of the most wild glory come on me. I mean, I felt every time I come into the Bay, there's something about me hitting the Bay Area right now.
Oh.
Every time I come into the Bay, I'm telling you, I feel with, and I don't just say this, I feel like the Lord wants to pick the Bay to forerun and pop something. Because every time I'm here, it's different than when I'm only doing California right now. I just moved to California. I said yes to California. I left all my family to come to California. I came all the way over here. Everybody's like, why are you going to Cali? Everybody's moving out of Cali. I came to Cali. And I'm telling you right now, I feel that the Bay, something God wants to do in the whole Bay Area. If it's considered or even 15, 20, 45, 50, 60 miles around the Bay, in the Bay, this might be, could be the Bay, it's going to be God.
Yes.
But He needs people to buy into what He's saying. He needs His church. He needs His army to rise and say yes. God, you want to do something here? Do you understand that if we all started to just say yes to God, that you are, you physically own me every single day? What is that going to look like? I guarantee the church is going to look different. I got baptized in to now God. Wait, why does God physically want to own me? Do you not understand the inheritance that you get if you're a priest? Are you not a priest? Are you not a royal priesthood? Does it not say in the Word that you're a royal priesthood?
Yeah.
Does it not say that you are? Does it not say that you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation? Does it not? You're a priesthood.
Yes.
Do you want to understand something? So if I'm baptized into the Father, and the Father pulls me up, and I'm baptized into Him, and now I am His property, and now I am a priest, because that's what He says, I am a royal priesthood, so therefore I am. If He says I am His Son and I don't believe it, just because I don't believe it, feel it, think it, doesn't mean that it changed it for Him and I. He still says, that's my boy. That's my son. I physically own him. Look, I've written him all over. My name is all over his heart. I own him. He's my son. You can't change it. You're not that powerful. You wish you were. You cannot cancel yourself out of His love. You're not even remotely in. Our minds are so busted where we think we can tell God, stop loving me. Don't you go love me today. You're not that cool, dude. You're not even remotely on the level of understanding. If you think that you can tell God, oh, after you crucified your son, set the whole thing up, picked me, sent me down here, chased me down, wrecked my life, and I had a bad day, a bad year, or a bad decade, that you're going to walk away from me, you are not that. Come on. That's silly thinking. You know why that's silly? Because that's no truth. So if I'm a royal priesthood, if I say a royal priesthood, do you know what it means to be a royal priesthood? Watch this. If I'm now a royal priesthood in a holy nation, a holy nation sounds to me like I'm somebody's property. Ooh. Somebody's property. If I'm a holy nation, a nation to me sounds like land, sounds like territory, sounds like something must infill that and call it their property. Looks like God actually dwells inside of all of you and you are physically His property. And if you are a priest, which you are, you want to know what the priest did in the Old Testament? Can I help you? I'll help myself because it's phenomenal. Let me not even act like I even, let me help you. Let me come in full humility and say, let me help us all. The priest, when they would give their life to serve, this is what the priest got in return. You would give your whole life to Christ. And He would physically own you. And at any time He wanted to do anything with you, you would always say yes. That is absolutely must. But the flip side of that is this. Is if you're a priest, and God physically owns you, you know what He says? He opens the storehouse. He opens all of heaven and says, here, anything you want is yours. Anything you want from me is yours. All of it's yours. Anything you want from me, it's all yours. Anytime you want, come and take it. You want an encounter? Come here. You want to go into trances? Come here. You want to work miracles? Come here. What do you want? What's in your heart? See, we're only thinking, oh God, can you save my family? He's laughing and saying, oh, if they only knew, I'm going to use them to save a whole nation. Hey! Imagine God the Father saying a covenant from Melchizedek where Jesus Himself comes in and intervenes and says, I will be Melchizedek and I'm going to come in the garments. And here's the garments. When they trade their life and they give me their life, I'm going to physically give them mine. And anything that they want, anything that they saw me do, anything that's in the Bible, anything that you see that you have language for, it's yours. It's yours. Did you know that you've been given permission as a priest? And as a son? You can even accept and live out of the Mosaic, the Abrahamic covenants, the Davidic covenants. It's yes and amen to you. He won't deny Himself from you anything. A little over your head. It's a lot. But guess what? You can literally ask God for anything. And if you actually have faith, He will not withhold it from you. How many of you are like, hey, dude, I want some more faith?
Oh, yes.
Is this message encouraging anybody? Because God is here to revive.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like, dude, I'm kind of glad I came to church today, bro.
Didn't
preach fire and brimstone.
I'll do that tomorrow.
Revival requires that I wait upon God. Verses 8 and 9. Psalm 85. He will speak peace to his people, but first they must wait. Verse 9. Surely his salvation is near to all who fear him, right? And it says this, that glory may dwell in our land. Hello? That glory may dwell in our land? That glory may dwell in our land? What land are we talking about? Oh, his possession. He owns me. That glory may fill and dwell in all of you.
Wow.
That's what he's saying, that the glory of God would fill and dwell and abide in all of you. Because he's going to give you grace, and he's going to give you glory.
Yes.
And if you want it, it's yours right now. If you have faith for it, it's yours all the day forever. There's nothing that he'll withhold from you. Woo-hoo! I say verse 10. Psalms 85:10. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth. Why? Because you're in the earth planted. Bam! And it's going to spring out of you.
Hey, wow.
Whew. Righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase.
There you go.
You are his land. You are his portion. And you will yield the increase. You're going to yield the increase of God. Say increase.
Increase.
Say I'm going to increase.
I'm going to increase.
I will increase.
I will increase.
All you're doing is now quoting and coming into 100% saying yes to the word of God. Now you're in full agreement. Revivals result in God now working in our midst. How many of you are like, dude, I'm actually really excited that I'm here? I'm like, yep, I'm happy to be here today. Let me tell you what it is again, one more time. Revival is an individual, it's not a corporate thing. It's not that I rely on my pastors to feed me every week, or where I call them complaining every day that I still have the same problem.
Come on.
Bless you. Bless you. He's like, we'll invite Pastor Daniel. Oh, anything but Pastor, please. Revival is an individual thing that you are accountable for yourself and yourself alone.
Yeah.
Hey, where we will let nothing get in the way. And you don't wait for your pastor, you don't wait for your friends, and you don't use YouTube for revival. You don't need it anymore.
Amen.
Jesus is your forever breakthrough.
Oh. Amen.
Jesus is going to go before you. The angel of the Lord is going to go before you. And he's going to take his sword, and he's going to let you walk with him. Why? You know why?
Because we're friends of God.
Amen.
Listen to this. Revelation 3:17 says, for you say, I am rich. I have prospered and grown wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I am in need of nothing. Mm-hmm. And you do not realize that you understand that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen to this. Revival is an individual thing. And us as an individual, we get a little comfortable sometimes, don't we? We get comfortable, church. We want to go and we want to do things, right? We always want to shake and bake. We always do. How many of you are like, dude, like I want to prophesy? How many of you are like, dude, if I could prophesy, I'd want to prophesy. Well, why don't you? In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, hey, dear church, go after the gift of prophecy. Why can't you? What about working miracles? If you're like, hey, if every single person that was in a wheelchair, if I could pray for them and they'd always get healed, would you pray for them?
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Do you know why you don't? I don't know, but how about we start?
Yeah.
What's the worst that's going to happen?
You're going to get an international healing ministry? Because you're for signs and wonders.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, I'm a sign.
A lot of times I make people wonder. English is my second language. The tongues is my first.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick. Our whole key verse for this whole service that we just preached comes down to one thing. One thing. One scripture. If my people,
all
who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, that they will seek, that they will crave, and require my necessity for my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land.
Amen.
He will not only heal you as your soul, He'll heal the land around us and the whole Bay Area.
Amen.
What if everybody... What if something breaks so wild out here that everybody's starting to fly? All everybody that left California, now everybody's getting on a plane trying to get to California. Because we realize that the glory of God, God wants to be the habitation inside all of us.
Amen.
And did we not get that tonight?
Yes.
Did we not realize that His land He wants to fill with the glory of God, but when I'm baptized into Him, that I am His possession?
Amen.
Am I not His possession?
You're the possession of God.
Hey!
And He wants to fill with the glory of God.
Yeah.
And everywhere you go, when you go, because you gotta buy toilet paper. When you go in there, and you gotta go see that cash register lady. Because we have patience, and we'd rather stand in the long line than do self-checkout. And you're looking right at that lady, and she's looking at you, and all of a sudden you leak a little bit of glory. She says,
"Oh,
she starts to fall, and you gotta grab her. You're like, "Oops, sorry, I leaked. I leaked a little bit out of my land. My land is leaking." I'm a sign in wonder, and I gotta get home because I needed some toilet paper. You know it's true. Don't act like you don't buy toilet paper. Say a sign in wonder.
A sign in wonder.
Say I'm a sign in wonder.
I'm a sign in wonder.
For this generation.
For this generation.
Please stand.
Right where you are, okay? I have a word that I just want to tell you what. I'm just going to take a second. This is what I saw. I had a vision. And I saw a pool. And I saw a pool get stirred. And that pool is called Bethesda. And the Lord is marking this place here as a well
not just a well of revival. And I feel like this is what you want, but a healing spring, a healing well. And I literally had a vision where a canopy went up over this region, and I saw like a place where like cancers and terminal diseases no longer live under the canopy of the glory that's going to come. And there's going to be a canopy that comes not just like here over the church, but over this region. And I literally saw like a dome where anybody under the vicinity, there is no cancer that can live. And I saw like terminal disease, and all these people are going to come. They're going to have all these diseases. And they're going to come, and they're going to come under this canopy. And this canopy is called the love of Father. It's called the glory of God, the abiding glory. It's a tangible glory. And the Lord's going to release it. He's going to release it. You're going to work miracles, signs, and wonders.
Shut up.
There's a double portion coming over your life. A double portion. And it's in your spirit. I feel it right now. Like the lightning God. The lightning strikes. And I feel this, the John G. Lake, one of the healing feedback of John G. Lake is coming into you. You just release that fire into him. Let that double portion fall over him, Lord. A double portion to run in the John G. Lake healing wells, the healing pools. Yeah, because I literally saw when mercy and peace kiss. I saw mercy and peace kiss. And I saw righteousness spring forth. And I heard the Lord say, tell him, well done.
Hey!
Well done for not listening to the traditional man trying to get you conformed to the traditional ways. And because you were a forerunner, a pioneer, and I feel the compassion of God's heart, you broke away. And it took, I saw maybe there's like a 10-year or a decade, there was some type of existence that you went where you had to go. And you had to pioneer. And the pioneering that you did was the Father's heart. And the Lord says, tell him. Gosh, I feel the compassion. He says, tell him that the brick by brick that you built.
Yes.
He said, tell him that you built on the cornerstone. You built on Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. And because of that, the Lord says, now he's giving you the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom are yours. And we just release those keys over you right now. And not only that, but these keys, the enemy will not be able to prevail over. The gates of Hades will not be able to prevail. Because on this rock, the cornerstone that you let Christ be, he will now build his kingdom. Bam! And I release in this apostolic calling, the apostolic grace to Father and to Father well. It's literally falling on you. It's coming over you. And there's a tangible literally coming over you. There's a real, true apostolic grace. There is a pastoral in you, and there's also a teacher. But now the Lord is bumping you up, and he's elevating you into the apostolic. And you're going to work, you have to be an apostle if you're going to work 2 Corinthians 12:12, signs, wonders, and miracles. So my Father, we thank you that signs, wonders, miracles, bam, will mark them all the days. Bam, mark them all the days. The devil, that John G. Lake, healing well, healing hope, and that canopy that comes over, the canopy that comes over, where they're going to come from miles, hundreds, countries away. I heard over here in the region, there's a pool called Bethesda, and I can be healed. Get me over to the pool of Bethesda. Bam! How many of you are like, dude, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's fun to be a son.
Oh, man.
It's fun to be a son. Now, what I want to do... Yo, let's do this. Let's take the offering for this evening. And let's do that. And then I want to ask the Father what he has. Because it wouldn't surprise me if he wants to start to touch people. Now, how many of you realize that we're going to be here tomorrow at 10 a.m.? We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Does everybody know that?
Yeah.
Now, listen. I understand you might have your church or whatever. That's cool. And if you can't make it tomorrow, how many of you are like, dude, tomorrow at 3? Tomorrow at 3. Okay? How many of you are saying, hey, I feel like God is starting to deposit something right here in this region? Anybody believe that?
Yeah.
Listen, if you believe it, then I want you to partner with it tonight, right now. And this is how I want you to partner with it. I want you to partner with giving your yes to God. To say, like, what if we do impartations tonight? How many of you know what impartations are? How many of you know that I could come and we could pray for every single person tonight, and I could physically lay the anointing, and I could take what's on my life and start to release it on yours? Because the moment I touch you, I start to prophesy. There's a prophetic calling that the Lord's trying to bring you in. There's a seer that He wants to bring you in. You're a discerner of spirits. I can feel it. I can see it. There's a healing gift inside you. The Lord wants to take you. And I saw you as a child dancing at the age of 3. You were a dancer at the age of 3. There's this ballerina inside of this innocence. And the Lord wants you to have, you're going to move for Him. You're going to create creativity ways to move almost angelically, like you're going to move like a cherubim and the angelic. And you're going to have this strategic that's going to open the heart of the Father. So, Lord, I thank you. See, and we release right now the eyes to see in her spirit right now. And that vibration, let her catch that spirit of revival, Lord. The Lord has given you a voice, not only a voice to talk, but a voice for pioneering the breaking and singing and multiplying. So, Father, in Jesus' name, wow, she's a ballerina. Yeah. Who would have known? I wouldn't have. She's doing ballerina stuff, yo. So in Jesus' name, bam, receive that fullness. In the fullness of God. In the fullness of God. In your spirit.
Jesus.
See, I can literally, I've gotten to the point, because I believe the Bible says I can just touch people,
hey!
Or I can look at you and I can prophesy.
Hey!
I can see where you're at. I can find out if you need a miracle. I can do it because I'm a friend. I believe. You want to become a friend? It's easy. You just believe. There's no other qualification. It's not if I'm good every day, or if I'm perfect right now, or if I need 6 months to get my life together. That's false. That's heresy. See, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, church. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little false teaching destroys the whole church, is what Paul's saying. A little bit of false doctrine can destroy the whole church. I'm telling you, if you want to be a friend of God, if you want to work signs, wonders, and miracles, all you have to do is say yes and believe, and bam, you're in.
Hey.
You say, yes, I'm in.
Yes.
And then you just get excited and go for it.
Amen.
You just run and go for it. Say yes to Jesus.
Yes.
I don't know what we're going to do tonight. The Lord only said, I want you to preach. So I preached. Maybe we're going to pray for every person. Maybe we're going to pray for miracles tonight. Maybe we go in the prophetic flow. I have no clue. But He said, hey, well, let's get the offering out of the way. Normally that means once we do the offering, He's ready to go and hang out and do some fun stuff, you know? Little shaka shimmy, little... We'll get old Prophet Roberto over here. How many of you are blessed by that message?
Yeah.
Can I tell you, I was blessed too, because I never connected all that until it came out. That was really wild.
That was beautiful.
It was totally sovereign. Say sovereign.
Sovereign.
Say hey, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to go back and listen to that and get healed and go into revival, bro. So let's do this. If you got, we'll do the offering tonight. And hey, Pastor, are you okay?
I'm okay.
I'm asking, brother. Should we call him Apostle?
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, can I ask a favor? Would you stand right here? I just want to hold this hand. Every
every bondage from the past, especially every word curse, yeah, it's broken now. It's fully broken. You're going to run. You're going to play here until your best days are before you. Mm-hmm. Your yes is a trajectory. I even see you holding a signs and wonders equipping. You're going to have like a place for signs, wonders, and equipping where you literally have this storehouse where you have all these people coming in getting trained. Radical, crazy miracles. And I see some really high-end names coming to partner with you. Like people who are really, 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 they're gifted and they're credible, but they're going to be interested, and sovereignly the Lord will connect because He wants to build. And He'll use them to come in so people will come, but ultimately it's so He can bless you. It's not about, oh, look who God's bringing here. It's He's like, no. They're coming to bless you. They're going to bless you. And in return, you're going to bless them. You're going to bless them. I just ask for that seer anointing to open up over you. Really to see. Lord, and I pray that the activation that I've received, that you have received in all of his spiritual senses right now, would be fully awakened. You calm down over there. Spring up, oh well. Hey, we're going to get Prophet Roberto on you. This is what I want to do. I was actually going to have him take the offering, but you know. You can just stay in your encounter. You guys will pass the stuff around. So here, you can just come and stand. Just come and stand over here. Is there someone else that can help? Brian?
Yeah.
He'll help. He's my friend. He catches all over. He's drunken, Brian. Guy can't stand up in the glory.
No.
All right, so tonight what we're going to do is, how many of you believe that everything in the kingdom is a seed? Right?
Yeah.
Because if I'm born of him, then I'm now his seed. Right? Everything that was created that's of the kingdom of heaven is a seed form. And so when you sow seeds, it's a seed form. Right? So one thing that I like to do is whenever I sow, sometimes, how many of you would say, I would think that the glory of God is here in this service?
Yeah.
Does anybody hear the
hey.
Word? So this is what I want to say. When you sow a seed in the glory of God,
amen,
and the lightning strikes as God strikes it, the germination process is immediately. Now let me tell you this. This does not mean that I am trying to get you to buy into any special thing. I'm not. I'm trying to educate you to understand that when you sow into the glory, it's not like I'm expecting the harvest like 20 years from now. I'm looking for an immediate return. And I think tonight we're going to name these seeds that we're sowing in, whatever we ask, whatever, if no one's got any pressure, let's just ask Holy Spirit, do you want me to give anything? Is there anything that you want me to sow into Daniel's ministry, into your ministry? Is there anything you want me to sow into the new breed that's rising, Lord, anything? And you just ask the Father, and just if you have a generous heart and you want to give, that's it. It's simple. But as we wait for those people to ask, this is what I want you to understand. How about tonight we sow seeds into, let's name these seeds personal revival. Why not? Let's say, Father, I'm dropping this in. Now, for those of you who are like, but I don't have any money, that's okay. So anything, just give them a yes. They're the yes as a seed. It's not about money. We're looking for a yes. We're looking for a unit to say yes, an army to say yes. We're looking for people to say yes. Like, it's not even about trying to get the cash. It's about trying to get your hearts to say, I'm in. I'm buying in. I'm saying yes, God. I just want to say yes to you, Jesus. I just want to say yes to you, Father. I'm saying yes. I'm so saying yes. Because that's what this is about. And for the offerings, we can give them our hearts. We can give them our heart 100%.
Amen.
So we're just going to wait a few. Are you my guy? Would you go? So this is what we're going to do. We're just going to take a few moments. And we're just going to rest in this. and our brother here, he's going to play, and we're going to let the glory of God come. Is that okay?
Yeah.
The glory of God's going to start to come in here, and we're just going to sit in it. And as we sit in it, we're just going to start to give our declaration, our yes to Jesus. And as we do that, you can go ahead at any time. As we do that, the atmosphere is going to shift. The glory of God's starting to pour out, I'm telling you right now. And then we're going to say, we're only going to do what the Father does.
Amen.
Nothing more, nothing less. There's no pressure to perform miracles just because there might be somebody sick, just because we can. If He's not doing that, we're not doing that. Maybe He's like, I want you to pray for everybody. If that's the case, we'll do it. But we're just going to come into the moment where we, as a corporate group, where we sit in the glory, and we just say yes, Lord. We say yes. We thank God for the reach. Now, some of you are like, man, I drove far away. Good. You know what? This is what we're going to do. I just had a vision. The Lord wants me to pray for people tonight, every person in here. And He wants me to physically put my hand on you. And He wants me to pray and impart the spirit of revival.
Amen.
To carry the, I feel it pouring over me right now. To impart the seeds to carry real, true revival. The outpouring. To where it would come inside of you. Paul says in Romans 1, how he longs to come to the Romans. How he longs to come to the Romans so that he can lay his hands on them for an impartation so that their walk may be complete. So that they might be fully gifted. Did you know that revival is something that's contagious? It's a spirit. It's totally the will of the Lord for you to catch it. What is personal revival? This is personal revival. That you may know Him.
Amen.
Hey! And that He would know you.
Amen.
All the days of your life. Every day, friend. Where you say no. No to the noise. No to the crying babies. No to the distractions. Don't leave your kids. Get it. Where you just say, I'm locking this off, and I'm just going to be with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to take time every day. I know I'm busy. Everybody wants me. I'm important. But Lord, I'm nothing without your presence. I'm nothing without being alone with you, God. I'm nothing, and I can sustain nothing. I'm no good for anything in my flesh. I'm just dust. But with you alone, I'm different. I'm tender. I'm merciful. I'm compassionate. And I have the fruit of the Spirit, the mind of Christ, and the love of my Father. And I can start to transform the world. One day at a time. One yes at a time. One soul at a time. That's what the Lord's going to do tonight. People's lives are going to get wrecked. People's lives are going to get impacted. Focus on that glory for a second. Can we just do that? Can we just open our hands and just get filled by the presence? However you connect with God the best, go ahead.
I'm not without.
There's not one day you've ever disappointed him. There's not one day you've ever let him down. All the anxiety, Bill, and all the past trauma is leaving you, friend. Thank you. that every person in here that's here right now, no matter if they're 2, 3, or 4, 10 years old, 20 years old, 60, 80, 100 years old, that every single person in here would catch the tangible, true spirit and the seed of revival tonight. As we pray that it starts to sweep through the church, that our lives would be filled with intimacy deep within you, God. We're deep called into deep, where we know the truth that nothing can keep us from Him. Where we know that we know that we know that every day He just wants us, and every single day that we choose to be with Him. Every day. We're going to do it every day. So we ask, God, that you bless all of our lives in this deed. Everything today, God. We just give you glory and we thank you for what you're doing right here in this little region. Right here in Pleasanton. We ask for wild increase. And we ask for breakout. Say breakout.
Breakout.
Who wants full-blown breakout?
Breakout?
How many of you are like, hey, I'm going to come back to one of the services tomorrow? Raise your hand. I think everybody, bring as many people as you can, and let's just really press it and go for it. Why not, right?
Yeah.
What happens if we all come super hungry, super desperate, super wild, and super like, oh, bro, you got to come. Just come. You know why? You bring your friends, you bring the people, you get them here. Watch. We build the momentum from tomorrow and tomorrow night service, and it starts to build and peak, and it blows and hits.
Yeah.
Bam! And it just explodes. But if we want real awakening, which is what the church needs, we have to have personal revival first. And that's why the Lord said, hey, I want you to preach. Psalms 84:85. Preach the pattern of revival to them tonight. Give them the pattern, the blueprint of the revival. Show them that they need to be desperate again, where their soul pants like a deer for water. And show them the truth that when you walk them through Psalms 84 into 85, and they go step by step all the way through, that they're going to find out that they are my land, that I've forgiven them fully, and that I want to place the glory of God inside them and fill my land, my people, my church, with my seed, a seed of prayer, a seed of hope, a seed of signs, wonders, and miracles, where they demonstrate the love and the power all the days of their life, from this day to the end of the age.
Amen.
Why not tonight? Why not now?
Amen.
I'm not sure if I'm going to pray for miracles or any of that stuff tonight. I really have no clue. But I do know this, that God absolutely 100% wants me to pray for every single person here tonight.
Wow.
Hey.
Amen.
And if you want prayer for that, I will pray for you. I'll probably need about 5 or 6 catchers, and I'll need someone to catch Brian. Are you guys just holding that stuff? I'm just going to put it down somewhere. You can do it in proper Roberto. So let's just see real quick if the Lord wants to move in the gifts tonight. His greatest gift is called love, and it was when He sent His Son for you. That's the greatest gift. That gift, being in companionship with the Father, I am in you and you are in me. His banner over me is love. He brings me to His banqueting table where He romances you. Do you have any idea how much the Father loves to romance you? Do you have any idea how much He longs to intimately dance and to swindle and to hang and to all of it? He loves you. The Lord spoke to me a couple of days ago what He was going to do here. And He said, I'm sending the winds of change.
Wow.
That's what He said. And He said, down the mountainside, it'll roll down the mountainside and joy will come through.
Wow.
But joy would only return if there was a reason for you not to have joy. Which sounds like somebody, something, somewhere is getting revived. Because joy is the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
And the winds of change sure did blow. Because that's what I labeled the meetings, the winds of change, over a week or 2 weeks ago. And guess what? The moment that I drove in, last night, yesterday, the weather pattern changed. As a sign to accompany what God is going to do in this region.
Amen.
The winds of change. It's a sign that came with it.
Amen.
Sometimes I'll go into places and the weather pattern gets so weird the day I fly in. And I'm like, Lord, it's 38 degrees and it's snowing. Why? How is it humanly possible? And then you wake up the next day and it's 38 degrees and it's snowing again. Make it make sense. Or sometimes I'll go into a region and all of a sudden they're like, bam, it's raining and it's just pouring and flooding and it floods so much that when I'm trying to drive out of the region, I rip the front end of my car off because it's underwater because it's so flooded. I was like, dude, I'm not doing this anymore, God. I'm going to fly everywhere, bro. Come on, Jesus. Or it's so windy out of nowhere, your plane can't land, and you're like, Lord, I should have drove. Can you just get me on the ground? I get it. It's an abnormal weather pattern. Snow? Is it normal for it to be a 72 high today? No?
Not quite.
Do you know that it's like this weather in the Central Valley too? The high is like 72, 73?
Wow.
That's abnormal. It's not normal. I come to California 7 years in a row and I know that that is not normal. And I'm always here in the summertime. So the Lord is demonstrating His sign. But the greatest sign is that we'll believe. But we'll have faith. Jesus says when He returns, He's going to come and He's going to look to see one thing. Can I find faith?
Yes.
Faith is the most important thing that you can pursue. Because the more faith you have, the more you're going to be able to do with and for Him. It's all faith related. The same faith that you believe in Him, that He really actually did die for you, is the same faith for you to raise the dead. Did you know that? There's no difference in faith. And faith is the substance. I feel the power of a resurrection coming over your life right now. Would you come for a second? Sometimes we need breakthroughs. Say breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
Say breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
I can't wait for when the church celebrates everybody else so much, when they get so blasted and we see some, even a stranger that's a brother or sister, get totally wrecked. But we celebrate their breakthrough. When we're like, oh yes, God, You broke through for another one of Your children. Because what I saw for you, and I saw the financial angel coming, and I saw a financial breakthrough coming over your life. Because the Lord comes over you. And the Lord declares over you. He speaks. And the cedars will abandon break. And I break all this. And I saw a financial breakthrough coming over you right now. I literally looked at you and I saw a financial breakthrough. It's going to come over. Say a financial angel.
Financial.
That's actually what I saw. But sometimes the church is like, wait, they have those? It's a ministering angel. Fine, who cares what it is? If you need a miracle, if you need a breakthrough in finances, it's all the same. It's all sent by the same Father. Who do you think delivers the message? However God wants to do it, who cares? We just want her to get her breakthrough. Does anybody here have neuropathy? Neuropathy? This is my nurse? That's my nurse?
That's your nurse.
You're my nurse? She's like, wait a minute.
She's a nurse.
She's a nurse. Can we turn her microphone up a little bit? I know you just said like that whole thing. Can you talk again?
Neuropathy就是神经受损，通常糖尿病的人会有这个问题，你的手脚会非常疼痛，因为你的神经已经受了损。Stand
right here. Lift your hands. Come closer. Come. Right there, yes. How long? How many years? Ask her how many years. So over a decade? Neuropathy? She has neuropathy?
Jesus, this infirmity, bam, come off of her neck, bam, there it go, in Jesus' name, I
said let her go, and the fire got bam. Now you're being fully healed. I command the brand new. There goes. I saw the warmth. I feel the healing power. I feel the Kratos power.
Yeah.
The regional breakout power. The power to break up the region. Pouring out. Pouring in. Bam! In Jesus' name, you heal. Somebody here, it's like a femur issue. Femur? It's crooked. Your femurs are crooked. And it, your hip is jacked. It's messed up. I feel like you're a woman. Are you mid-40s? You're mid-40s? I heard. Yeah, that's what I heard. Stand right here. You have a crooked pelvis? In the name of Jesus, it's going to straighten out in every form of the enemy. I bind Leviathan. I bind Leviathan in the name of Jesus. You're going to come off and break. Bam, let her go. Bam, bam, bam. There it goes. And I command it to turn. Turn. Hey, the power of God. Turn it, turn it, turn it, turn it to him. And it's going to be comfortable when you drive. It's going to be comfortable when you sit in that lower spine. Shit, bam! In Jesus' name. And the power to run up and down your leg right now. The virtue is in this leg. I see it, the Spirit. I can physically see it. There it goes. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Come here. Come here. Stand her right there. Right there. Right. Lift your hands. There's an impartation coming over you from heaven right now. There it is. There it is. There it is. There's a waterfall falling over you. Just stand right there in the waterfall. Right there. You're good? The waterfall. Right there. Just stand in the waterfall. There's a waterfall of the grace. There's a waterfall of the glory of God. There's a waterfall falling over you. There's a waterfall. There's somebody here. There's somebody here. There was some type of procedure that was done on the neck. And they were in a neck brace.
你曾经戴那个脖子的那个护脖子的东西。
And they never fully recovered.
没有真的好过，没有完全好。请问这是什么哪一个哪一位在我们当中？
Upper spine, come quickly. It's upper spine.
脊椎的上半部在脖子的部位。
Nerve damage.
神经受伤。
Stand right here.
哎呀。
Yes.
You have a pastoral heart.
Yeah.
You're going to teach and preach God's word.
Yes.
You're a teacher.
Yes.
Yes.
Now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I command you to be fully healed here. All the nerve damage, everything right now. The fire. Burn. There it goes. And all the ligaments and everything in there. In Jesus' name, to be 100% healed, all the way up from the head, and all, where that procedure was done, where they came in, and maybe there's a knife, whatever, in Jesus' name right now, fully loosen, I bind that infirmity, I bind that shackling, and we let him go, because the Son, he who he sets free, is free indeed, and the Son indeed has set his Son free, so be free, bam, Jesus, bam, Jesus, bam, infirmity, where always comes and goes, comes and goes. Bam, I broke that in Jesus' name. Fully. There's somebody here that you go to the chiropractor and you need adjustments in your back. There's adjustments that you're ongoing in your back. And it's a lower back issue. Is that you? Come, lower back. Your seat, like 3 or 4. Is that it? Am I steering right? Stand up. Right here? Yeah, you guys take your shoes off? All right, let's go. Get your hands. You're going to be fully healed. You're not going to have to go to the chiropractor anymore, says the Father.
in the name of Jesus. Oh, receive that inheritance. Oh, I release it into her, God. That power, the virtue to heal. The power, the virtue to heal. Oh, in Jesus' name. Bam, a brand new spine.
Thank you.
You have the same thing? Stand right here. Listen. Come over here. The fire of God is already touching your back. It's already touching your lower spine. In the name of Jesus. Be fully healed. Be fully healed. That's fair right there. You're like, my mom and dad has asthma too. Who are you?
Name.
Your mom and dad, do you have asthma? Does your mom or dad have asthma? Yes, she's generational. Stand right here. Yep. You're going to get brand new lungs. And then, hey, you're going to pray for your family. What are you responding to? Lungs, asthma, generational? I can see the lungs. Take a deep breath. There it goes. You're going to let her go. In the name of Jesus. Bam! Hey! Unshackle her. Unshackle her right now. Bam! In Jesus' name. You have it? Lift your hands right here. Generational? Right there. There it comes. I'm going to give you a shock of pain. Bam! In the name of Jesus. I curse that asthma all the way. I find it brand new lungs. I call it brand new lungs. Yeah, you birth it. Birth it to glory. Birth it to glory. Bam! Birth it. The groanings of God. Jesus healed her back.
What happened to you? What happened to you?
Does it hurt?
A little bit.
A little bit?
You know why we ask? So that you can be healed. So in the name of Jesus, touch your toes, right? Go ahead, touch your toes. Go, just... What do you have? Your hip? Did I pray for you? I just prayed for you? Is it better? So your hip got healed? Is that what you just said? Come here. She's like, wait a minute. She's like, hey, Jesus healed my hip, but not my calf. Go stand over there. You're going to be healed because you have faith.
Hey.
What happened? Is it burning in your back? Is there fire?
Yeah, I cannot fully.
You cannot fully?
Yeah.
Yes, you can fully. Say, yes, I can. And yes, I will. And in the power invested in me, now bend over and touch your toes. And say, I'm a sign. I'm a wonder. Looser. Go more.
Hour for the church's greatest moments to shine.
Amen.
Say, we're going to shine, Father.
We're going to shine, Father.
Because it's time to arise, shine, for the glory of God has come.
Arise and shine, glory.
I see fires falling on and candlesticks. Like, is anybody feeling fire on their head right now? Anybody? Yeah, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to shift. Hey, I'm going to pray for every person before we do that. We're going to come back tomorrow. I'll be here at 10 a.m., right?
Yep.
And we'll be here at 10 a.m. tomorrow. And then we're going to be here at 3 p.m. tomorrow, right? So that means that I'm going to do a service, and then I don't know if I'm going to... It doesn't even mean... Maybe we just stay and do a service the whole way. I don't know, you know? I don't know. I'm going to try to go home and get a nap or something. But we're going to be here at 10 a.m. Then we're going to be here at 3.
Right.
Now, here's what we're asking. Come back again tomorrow.
Amen.
Come back.
Amen.
I know you might have drove an hour, 40 minutes. Just come back. Bring some people. I can't tell you how many times I've seen God start to touch people.
and the people, when they come back, they bring more people. And somehow, God speaks to me about the people they bring. And then I'm like, wow, here's the person that you brought. And there's like this long detailed thing that God gives them. And their life gets totally wrecked, totally healed. The person that you know that's always complaining about pain in their body, bring those people tomorrow. The person that you always see that's always broken, bring them back tomorrow. Go get them fish and bring them back. And if you got to go to your service at 10 a.m., we get it. But come and celebrate with us as we keep pushing. Say, let's go higher tomorrow.
Let's go higher tomorrow.
Why on earth would we ever... We're going to finish way up here tonight. And then tomorrow, I'm going to come in up here. I'm not coming down here. I'm not coming... We're coming up here. And we're going to go really high. Who wants to go higher? Come tomorrow. Come and get higher.
Hey.
Like, go within higher. Except, yeah, like, well, what's he saying? So, I need about 5 or 6 catchers. And then we're going to get everybody on the floor up. Are you happy you came tonight? What happened to you? You feel handy? The heavyweight glory. An impartation over your life. Now what happens is when we pray this impartation over your life, it'll never go away. Do you hear what I'm saying? It will never go away.
Amen.
Here is what the enemy will do. He will come in and whisper you when you leave, when you're on the ground, or when you wake up tomorrow or the next day, oh, that's not real. That, no, you didn't get anything. Oh, if you get those thoughts, you better believe you got it.
Amen.
Because he ain't going to come to you and say that you didn't get something that's not even there. There's no reason for him to wage warfare on something that doesn't exist. He only wages warfare on what really does exist and what's real and true. That's what he wages the warfare against. So you're going to get prayed for. Hey, whether you feel anything, fall down, shake, or bake, none of that matters. None of it matters. What matters is when you receive it, say, I receive by faith. Say, I receive. Say, I receive.
I receive.
By faith.
By faith. Let's
go. Yeah, I'll have one line right here.
And then we could probably get another one like right here. You know? So if you guys want to help get the people to come.
Okay.
And just give me, I'm going to need a straight line literally like right here. Going down. And then I'll need another line somewhere close. And maybe we should push that first row back just a little bit. The first row maybe go back just a little bit, not crazy. Yeah, so if you're a catcher, get all these people lined up right here. If you're catching, just line them all up right here all the way down. Go ahead and play.
Don't do it, pitch.
Everybody just look at me and just be quiet real quick for a second. When we go into this type of moment, let's all just stay silent because it's actually a real holy moment. Let's honor the Father, and then we can talk here in a few minutes after everybody gets laid out and blasted and everybody gets impartation. We can run, jump, celebrate, dance, because the fire of God is going to hit people's lives. And we're going to pray for the spirit of revival to come over. So if you're sitting back there and you're not up here, just wait. Just wait. Say it's tangible. Say it's tangible. And it's going to spread.
Okay. 他说如果你会就是在这里保持你的安静，然后你就祷告，然后我们会一排一排，所以不要乱了。OK？不要乱，而且他后面要有catch up。帮你们扶着，要不然倒下去会脑震荡啊！所以你要先看看你后面有没有人，好像这个 lady 后面没有人啊，这个就要来稍微一下，他们一共我们一共只有大概七八个 catcher， 所以你们不要急哦。如果你不在第三排或第二排，请你回去，要不然等一下出问题我们不负责任哈。
Can I have one of my other waters over there somewhere? Can I have it, please? I'm parched. Whew. Thank you. Hey, if you you guys feel that holiness come in here now? Can we thank our brother for playing for us today? I just want to thank you to the pastors for bringing us into this region. We honor you. We thank you. We're going to start to just lay this. We're going to pray for you. Are you catching? No? Receive it by faith, church. You're going to catch. Just heard. Who's my catcher? Wave at me. Wonderful. Are you guys ready? Because it's coming. Receive it, church.
line right here. Catchers, if you see that you can push them up somewhere further, just go ahead and push it. Help them.
do you have pain right here? Right here? Do you have pain right there? Stand up. I feel it. I feel it. And it's going to go all the way down. The Lord just showed me by a word of knowledge He's going to heal you. Lift your hands. I'm going to breathe. You're going to be healed. Everybody look at this man. Say, hey, hey, friend. Say, believe. Say, only believe. Only believe.
Thank you. Okay, is there anyone has a prayer? Is there anyone? Everyone already prayed, right? Okay. Keep going.
Thank you.
but you're going to write in this book. The Lord's going to open like a pen and a writer and a scribe and a ready writer. And the Lord is going to have the whispers and the angelic of the Father's throne to you. And you're going to write and scribe it. And you're going to be like, wow, I've been going from the past. And all the stuff in your past.
I'm praying. Sunday worship, so I invite you to go there. Ready in the afternoon, 3 o'clock. Be here. One last thing, that we all be praying. So, you know, when I was young, I tend to stop the speakers to get more blessings. But please don't do it, okay? We need a rest so we can have a better service tomorrow, right? Yes? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we see a lot of healing, prophecies, a lot of upbeat and refreshing sermons that really give us something. We want to do this personal revival. We want to be friend of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Continue to bless and anoint Pastor Daniel and every one of us. In the name of Jesus, I cast out all those demons out of here. Let here be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, we expect more tomorrow. We want tomorrow's anointing greater than today's anointing. We're always looking forward to. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you. See you tomorrow. Praise God.
You gonna do it tomorrow?
I'll be your mom.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, I'll be your mom.